You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're with us in the room, you're with us at home, welcome. We're glad you're here. So my only real announcements today, just a reminder that Easter is coming. 2 weeks from today is Easter Sunday. And so next Sunday, for those of you who are grown up in church, you know, it's Palm Sunday. And then we have Good Friday, and we will be having a Good Friday service and obviously an Easter Sunday celebration. And so these are good times to consider inviting someone that maybe have kind of slipped out of church for a while. You know, this is kind of our banner day, Easter Sunday. It's the day in the life of a follower of Jesus that really sets apart our God from every other God. And so this is a special day, and so I just encourage you to consider inviting someone for Easter Sunday and plan to be here for that. And I really encourage you to join us for our Good Friday service as well. So all that information will be coming out in your newsletter this week. And I know I mentioned last week in my sermon, I talked about that emotionally focused foundation weekend coming up in May. That information will be in your newsletter as well. So just be looking for that. And so other than that, we have our community prayer is just moved to 6:30 this week if you want to be part of that. And youth groups back on, where spring break is over. Spring break in the snow. For those of you who are teachers or have young kids, you know, we're just coming out of spring break and we're getting into the tail end of the school year here. So I think that's all the announcements I have. I can't think of anything else pertinent. But be checking your newsletter. If you are not receiving our newsletters, if you're in the room, make sure you fill out a Connect card and give us your email address. If you're with us at home, you can fill that out on our website. And we'd love to add you to our email address. You know what's going on in the life of our church. And let us know who you are. We'd love to get to know you and maybe grab coffee with you sometime. Also, we receive our tithes and offerings in a number of ways as a continuation of worship. We have a black box in the back. That's where you can put your prayer request, newcomer's card, if you want to meet with us or give us your email address. That's also a place where we receive our tithes and offerings. And you can also give online or text to give. So as I was thinking about what we're going to talk about today, I remembered a time many years ago now when I was in a little bit better shape and before we moved out here to Milwaukee. I was part of a recreation volleyball league for years, an adult recreation volleyball league. And I was hanging out with my teammates after a game one night. We would often kind of go out after the game and get something to eat, and we were hanging out. And we were actually in the process of getting ready to move out here. So we had our house on the market, and we were getting ready to move to Milwaukee. And so my teammates, most of whom did not have life with God, were kind of asking, like, why are you moving to Milwaukee? Especially because they knew that we had never lived or been to Wisconsin before we decided to move out here. We didn't have family here or know anyone from here. So it was a little confusing to them why we would decide to uproot our family and move to some city and state that we had no connection with. And so I began to kind of share my story with them of how I felt like God had been speaking to me about this city, how God had been talking to me about it. And so I was sharing my journey with them, and I remember one of my teammates, Natalie, just kind of looking at me quizzically as I'm talking. And after a while, she said, you know, Rebecca, there's a word for that. It's called schizophrenia. When you think you're hearing voices in your head and you think that God is talking to you. Like, she was a nurse. She's like, we actually help people with this problem. And so although she was teasing me, I think part of her was serious. Like, part of her was, like, listening to my story, and she was trying to make sense of, this is a person I've known for a while. I think she's sane. Like, she seems like a decent mother, and, you know, she seems relatively emotionally healthy, and yet here she is saying something that doesn't make any sense to me. She's saying that God was talking to her and inviting her to do something. And she believed it so much that she was willing to, like, sell her house and uproot her family and move to another state. And so it was just so hard for her to wrap her mind around this, like, what kind of box to put this in. And, you know, I wonder, for you, if you've ever had a conversation with someone and they've said, like, well, I think God told me to do this or God said this. If part of you is like, really? Like, what do you mean God told you? What about you? Do you feel like God ever tells you to do something? Do you feel like you hear from God? And how does he communicate to you, if that's true? In what ways does he talk to you? What ways does he communicate to you? You know, there are some followers of Jesus who believe that everything that God has already said is locked up in Scripture, that he's like finished talking, and it's all locked up in Scripture. And I know that most of you in this room would say that you don't actually believe that, that you do believe that although Scripture is authoritative and instructive and is the Word of God, but that he continues to speak to us as a community, personally, that he continues to talk to us, and his desire is to have an intimate relationship with us, which would require some form of communication, right? But I wonder, how often do you actively seek God's voice for yourself or for other people? Like, how often do you find yourself asking God a question with an expectation that he's going to answer it? Or just sit in his presence just to listen and see what he has to say? And so today, as I talked about last week, we are going to talk specifically about the gift of prophecy. But before we kind of dive into specifically what it looks like to kind of operate in this gift, I wanted to talk just briefly about generally listening to the voice of God, being attentive to the voice of God. Because if we indeed are created for relationship with God and each other, then how do you form a relationship with the living God if he's mute or unmoving? Or if everything he's ever said is just locked up in Scripture? If he doesn't continue to speak to you and interact with you. John 10:4-5, I don't have a slide for this, but it says, when he brought out his own, he's talking about Jesus, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So he's kind of using the metaphor of like, sheep will always follow their shepherd. They know what their shepherd smells like. They know what their shepherd sounds like. And this is a picture of what it was like to actually follow the lead of the Spirit, to follow the person of Jesus. We start to know, this is what Jesus sounds like. This is what he feels like. This is what he smells like. And so that being said, God is a spirit, right? Like, we know him, we relate to him through the Holy Spirit. So hearing him, and I would even add to that, experiencing his presence, sensing him, is going to look and feel different than it does to listen to or experience another fellow human being, right? This is going to feel a little different. And it is something that we need to cultivate, that we need to sort of practice, to tune into. I know that one of our small groups is currently studying the book from Brad Jerzak called Can You Hear Me? Tuning Into a God Who Speaks. Tuning into the God who speaks. And I really highly recommend this book. If this is something that you have not, or you're not familiar with this book, and you kind of want to grow in both theological understanding of how God has spoken all throughout history, but what I really love about the book is the end of each chapter, he has these little exercises you can do where you can kind of practice on your own and begin to sort of cultivate and tune in to the voice of God. His premise is that we don't learn to hear God's voice. God is already speaking to us. We're just learning to tune in to what's already happening. We are already actually probably hearing God and experiencing him, but we learn to tune into it and pay attention to it. And the Bible testifies and models how God's voice has been speaking to people throughout history through three really broad avenues, through messengers, through circumstances, and then direct messages to our heart. And so we hear God speak through messengers like teachers and prophets and evangelists, musicians, through people's testimony. And then we get receive direct messages to our heart or our mind's eye. And so they may come through like an interjecting thought, or it might come through a picture in our mind's eye or a vision or a dream. And of course, God continually speaks through Scripture. Particularly when God will speak something really directly to your heart for right now. So it's not just where we're we're kind of looking at scripture and doing a good exegesis, like, you know, who was the intended audience and what was the speaker trying to say and all of that. But there's something God says directly to you for you, your life, who you are in your circumstance right now. That is likely the meaning of the gift of knowledge. And there's, of course, a kind of hearing that's more of like a sensing, right? There's like a intuition, a sense of discernment, an impression. We might get a burden, a vibe, like a gut feeling. And that's kind of like the felt presence of God. It's a hearing that's beyond just even words. Sometimes we can have initial sense of what God wants to do in a space by a feeling in our body. I know sometimes if I walk into a space and I feel something in my hands, like a cooling feeling or an oily feeling or tingling feeling, I immediately think, ooh, God wants to heal someone today. So then it's just like figuring out who he wants to heal and how he wants to heal. And some people talk about getting sympathy pains in their body. I'm thankful I don't have that experience, or I haven't, because that sounds not fun. But people will suddenly feel something in their body, and it's a sense that God wants to heal that in somebody else's body. It's kind of a sympathy pain. But there's a number of ways that we can posture ourselves to increase our awareness of God's activity, his presence, what he's doing. We can do different kinds of contemplative practices. We can journal, practice listening, silence and solitude, working with a spiritual director, all kinds of things. But in the end, we're increasing our sensitivity to the indwelling Holy Spirit. We're developing intimacy with him. You know, I remember, some of you may or may not be familiar with, he's a professor and a teacher and an evangelist named Tony Campolo. But I remember hearing a story once where he had an opportunity to ride with Mother Teresa on a train going somewhere. And he thought, oh man, I have this like rare moment to like ask Mother Teresa any question. What should I ask her? And he said, so Mother Teresa, when you pray, what do you pray? What do you ask God? And she said, nothing. I just listen. He's like, oh yeah, that's good. He's like, so what does God say? And she's like, nothing. He just listens. He's like, what do you mean? She's like, clearly you don't really understand lovers. He's like, what? But she was painting this picture of intimacy, that she had walked with such intimacy with the Spirit that sometimes you just being in each other's presence, just loving, being connected in each other's presence. And so ultimately that's what we're doing, right? We're cultivating intimacy with the lover of our souls. And it's out of this place that we learn to operate and activate the gifts of the Spirit that we started talking about last week. But today I want to specifically talk about listening for the sake of other people. Operating the gift of prophecy is for the sake of other people. It's to encourage people, strengthen them, support them, speak the heart of God directly into their hearts. And so if you remember last week, I said that these gifts are available to all of us who love and follow Jesus and have experienced the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All of these gifts are available to us. And this gift of prophecy not only builds up the church and strengthens our brothers and sisters, but it's an amazing gift to offer to the world. That we can share a word directly from the heart of God for a person that may not even know that God is alive and that he loves them and that he sees them. And so today I want to talk about why. So yes, learning to hear the voice of God helps us to cultivate this gift, but this gift of prophecy is for other people. It's to bless and serve other people. So look with me again at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. This is Paul talking to the church in Corinth. He says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I think it's interesting that he starts off like, you were led astray by mute idols. But now we are tuned in. Now we follow a God who is not mute. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And then he says a bunch of other stuff about love, like all of this is useless if you don't love people. It all needs to come from a place of love. And then I'm going to skip down real quick to 1 Corinthians 14:1. He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So why prophecy? Like, why should we desire any of these gifts, and especially why prophecy? So I'm just curious, obviously I'm not asking you to answer this rhetorical question, but have you ever received a prophetic word from somebody? Or like received prayer from someone in a way that as they were praying, it sensed that they were like hearing directly from God for you? And what was that like for you? My guess is it was very encouraging. It may have been very powerful. It may have even been life-changing for you. I've heard all kinds of stories of people having decisions clarified for them, numerous churches starting, ministries starting, all from a place of receiving a prophetic word, or somebody being very affirmed in who they are and what they were called to do. I know two stories personally of suicides that were prevented because somebody was brave enough to take a risk and go up to a stranger because they felt so prompted by the Spirit to offer a word that actually changed the trajectory of this person's life, actually, in this case, saved their lives, prevented a suicide. And so one of the reasons I think that Paul's saying especially prophecy is because it is so encouraging and so strengthening and can help direct you personally and as a community into the direction that the Lord wants to take us. It says, and this is out of order, I'm sorry about that, but 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So when we prophesy, we bless and serve other people, we affirm them, encourage them. Sometimes prophecies will be used to warn or correct us, but it all comes from this place of love. It all comes to bring us greater freedom, greater wholeness, to build us up. So what is prophecy exactly? If you're like, okay, I get it. What exactly is it? I'll give you just a couple working definitions. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard Movement, describes it this way. The supernatural ability to speak the mind of God on a given subject at a given time by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then I'll give you one last definition. Greg Haslam, who wrote a book called Moving in the Prophetic, described it this way. Prophecy is a phenomenon that results directly from the access the Holy Spirit has to our minds, whereby he can create pictures in our imagination, supernatural dreams while we are asleep. He can put words, ideas, or scriptures into our heads with such force that we know that there is something that carries with it the responsibility to pass on and relay what the Holy Spirit has communicated. Now, I'd love to tell you just story after story of examples of this that I've experienced, and I know many of you have experienced. Different ways that God talks to us and in a way that we feel so prompted, we just feel like we need to share it to the person or to the community. But what is the difference between just hearing from God, like I talked about, for ourselves or for other people? Like, how is it different? It actually, in my experience, isn't that different because you're hearing from God and God is going to communicate to you in a way that makes sense to you, in a way that you can hear him. And so in both cases, we're discerning God's voice. But the difference is with prophecies, we're actually taking a risk and sharing it out loud. We're sharing it to somebody else. And my experience, the more that we do that, the more that we begin to discern God's voice even for ourselves. So one of my mentors in this area, who is a pastor at Vineyard Columbus, he is a scientist. He left the scientific industry to become a pastor. So he's like, I know the way the brain works. And he kind of described it this way. It's like, let's say we get a real specific word for somebody, we share it, and it lands. They're like, yes, that was for me. It's like our brain's like, that was God. I wasn't quite sure if that was my own thought or God's, but that was God. And over time, our brain just gets more and more tuned in. So we're like, okay, that's what God's voice actually sounds like. And it can be just so subtle. I remember one of the first times I tried this. I was in a group like this, and they had called somebody forward and said, does anyone have words for this person? So I was like, all right, God, is there a word for this person? And I just heard the word daughter in my mind. And it was just so subtle. I just heard daughter. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. And that probably was just a random thought. Didn't give it much thought. A line of people line up to share their words. And like the first three people are like, I got the word daughter. And I'm like, oh, I was right. And so it's just like, it was so subtle. It wasn't like this big moment. It was just the same way that I've already heard God speak to me. And so over time, as you share words, you're like, okay, I begin to tune in. This is how God talks to me personally. This is how God talks to me for other people. And I think this is true for all of us. God will find ways to speak to you. Some of you, I know Dave is kind of artistic, so he sketches a lot. He'll actually get little sketches. I know I have all these ridiculous amount of 80s music in my brain from my formational year. So God will often use like a lyric from an 80s song. Or he has certain, what people will sometimes describe as almost like a prophetic library, where you'll get certain words over and over again. Eventually, when you get it in your head or a picture, you start to be able to interpret what it means for someone else. For a long time, I would get the word lipstick. I remember I had this women's group that I met with for years called A Mother's Heart for Healing, and it was moms whose kids were kind of going through ongoing health issues, and I would often get the word lipstick, or I'd get a picture of like a certain kind of color. I'd be like, does anyone like raspberry lipstick? Meaning, I would say this every time, and they're like, no, never made sense. And maybe a year later, I got it again for this woman I was praying for, and I finally heard God say, I want her to know how lovely she is to me. And so now when I get the word lipstick and I'm praying for someone, I know God's trying to say how much he delights in that person, how lovely she is. If I get the word clouds or marshmallow, I know that God is wanting to bring peace to somebody, like he wants them to lighten up. But it took me a while to figure these words out. I would get these words and for years, and then finally I'd finally get the interpretation of it. And so God will repeat things to you too. You almost begin to like tune in to like, oh, that's what you're trying to say to somebody. But I want to show you what I've discovered, though, with all of these things as we're talking about operating the gifts, is that they all require some amount of faith. And when I say the word faith, that makes us nervous because we think we have to, like, conjure something up. It's just trusting, honestly, that God is good and that he wants to speak to us and to his people. So it's leaning out of a place where we're in control and can manage the situation, and we're allowing him to be in control and we're allowing him to bring forth his agenda. And so it requires this sort of release and control, which means you have to trust that the Holy Spirit is good and he's got your back and that he's here. He loves you, he's here for you, and he's here for people. And so it's taking a risk to kind of release that control to him. And so I want to show you a series of clips. As I was working on this, I remembered this experience I had where I was taken out of control, not even completely by my own will, and put in a position where I had to take a risk and really trust the Holy Spirit. And I was going to tell you about it, and I discovered that this conference that I was at like 8 years ago, they actually videoed it. It's like on a YouTube video. And so I actually, rather than tell you about it, I was going to show you some clips from it. But just to kind of set it up and explain what I'm going to show you, Dave and I attended this, what was called a CAUSE conference in Denver, like I think like 7 or 8 years ago, like 2014. And they had these speakers come in, these pastors, and they would do like a teaching. And at the end, they would say, why don't we do some ministry time, see what the Holy Spirit wants to say. And then they would just like look at someone from the audience and just start like saying, unpacking all this stuff that God wanted to say to a particular person. And it would be like a download, like a very specific stuff. And I remember thinking like, how do they get so much? Like sometimes I'll get like a one word or a picture. How are they getting like this entire download? So I went up to them after one of their teaching times and I asked them, how do you get so much information about this person? And he explained to me, he goes, we only usually get like one thing. Like God will highlight a person and we will maybe get one word or small picture. And he goes, as I say it, more just starts coming. And it was like, as I take the risk and start it, it's like then the Holy Spirit, it's like it's that moment I'm sort of activating the prophetic and then more will just start coming. I heard someone sort of describe in terms of all the gifts and kind of taking the risk. I heard someone describe it once as like when you go to like a grocery store and they have one of those like, whatever they're called, where you step on them and the door is open. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know the term for it. But they kind of described it as the gifts are kind of like that. Like, we don't really know what we're doing. We have just a little hunch, like a little sense from the Spirit. Like, go do this, go say this, go pray for that person. We're terrified. We don't know if we're right. God hasn't given us much information on what he's going to do, but we just have this sense. This is the Holy Spirit. We step on the... Does anyone know what that's called? Anyway, we step on the thing, then the door opens. That worked. The mat, thank you. I just needed some word. We step on the mat and the door opens. And I discovered this was the case for me. So what happened was I went up and I asked the guys, how does this work? He said, I get a word and it just more comes. So the next day, Dave and I show up kind of late for the conference and kind of like partway through worship. And as we're sitting there, I just have like a daydream, like, oh, what if this guy makes me come up on stage and do this with him? But I really didn't think it. I've discovered now that God will often speak to me in daydreams. So I'll just like be in the shower, I'll be whatever, like literally daydreaming, and he'll give me really specific things that like come out later when I'm like talking to people. I'm like, ooh, that was actually a little download from the Holy Spirit. I didn't realize it. So this was actually the Holy Spirit preparing me, unbeknownst to me, about what was going to happen. So I'm having this like daydream in my head. I'm literally going up, I'm getting coffee, and I'm picturing myself. Oh, I'm up there on the stage, and I just see some girl and say, oh, I think that God might be calling you to the Philippines. This is like a daydream in my head. So I go and I sit down, and as we're sitting there, the worship's ending, and I just get a sort of out of left field, the word Hawaii pops in my head. And I'm like, okay. And then the speaker said, well, take a few minutes and say hello to your neighbor or whatever, meet somebody. So a girl sitting in front of me turns around. I introduce myself. Oh, where are you from? She's like, I'm from Hawaii. And I'm like, that's weird. I just had the thought Hawaii. So now I'm paying attention, right? So now I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. Well, that's all that happened. And then I'll show you the first little clip from this experience.
Thousands of creative ways.
And I'm really for you.
And I'll be praying for you.
Should we do a little ministry?
All right.
Where's Rebecca?
You're married to David.
Come on down.
See, some of you have been asking like prophetic and the word and stuff like that.
You know, how do you do that?
Well, you got to be up for risk.
So I didn't tell her this,
but
she's going to give some prophetic words.
Come on down.
It's going to be great.
See, you got the gift going already.
It's going to be fine.
You should be encouraged.
All right, you just compose yourself here.
Okay, you need a microphone.
This looks like one.
I'm going to give a few words.
Okay.
And so this is where we're going to do a little clinic time.
Does this sound good to you?
Yes, they like it.
So I'll give a couple words.
And this will give you time to just watch and see what the Father. And you probably thought I was going to do this, so you probably have some words already.
I really didn't really think you're going to do it. I was just really concerned that you might.
Oh, okay.
I didn't really prepare myself.
Oh, don't worry. It's going to be grand. You know, they're really nice, and I'll do some, and then we'll get you to do some. Okay? Okay, so just relax. You just watch out there and all that stuff.
So you probably tell I was a little nervous. I did not know this was happening. So I get up there, and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. But what was really sweet is that God had already been preparing me. So he gave me that first word, Hawaii, and that first girl. And so when I got up there, I thought, I'm going to start with this girl. Because I think God was prompting me to, you know, start with this girl. So I actually was able to kind of start with her. And what happened was, while he was giving some more words, one of his other pastors came up and kind of whispered in my ear, because I had never done anything like this. He said, just kind of scan the room, and you'll have a sense that God begins to, like, highlight someone, kind of hover over someone, and then just ask him, what do you have for that person? So this was literally learning on the fly. So I'll go ahead and show you the next clip.
Fill them.
Fill them.
Fill them.
Fill them.
Come, Holy
Come
Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All right, you got any?
I think.
All right, go for it.
So there's this woman. I was really crazy. I just, when I first came in here, I just randomly had a word about Hawaii. And then it followed, like, the Philippines, kind of. And then I, when you asked us to meet people, I met this woman. I can't remember your name. Is it? Keala, who happens to be from Hawaii. Mm. And so I thought, oh, there must be something going on there. Anyway, so just now I was kind of praying for you. There's a U2 song where, you know, he says, if you walk away, I will follow. I felt like God was saying, like, you can't run away from him. Like, I had this sense, like, he's just been chasing you for a long time. He's going to always chase you. Like, you're not going to get away from him. And I also just, I had a sense, like, maybe there's a missional calling on your life. And I don't know if, like, the Philippines is a specific area that's, anyway, that's just,
awesome.
Yeah, I just sensed a real missional calling on you. And I feel like God's been chasing you for a while. Like, he's really been calling you out from a very young age. And then just now, I had a little sense, you with, I think it's kind of bluish hair. so I don't know, I could be totally off base. I don't know you at all. I just felt like, I feel like you may have a real ministry for women, and especially at a sense of, maybe just a sense of women who might feel like misfits, or they don't fit into the kingdom, or they don't belong, or something like that. And I even feel like that's something God has worked on in you, or is working on in you, like this, like you may struggle with, like, I'm kind of not good enough, or there's something off about me or wrong. And just felt this huge sense, like, God's like, no, you're exactly who I created you to be. Just this huge affirmation, like, his absolute delight in you, and this kind of calling to, I don't know, just really, like, people who might feel like they don't fit in or there's something off, like, you're going to, like, change that, like, speak truth into, to, and I felt specifically with women.
Awesome.
That's all I got so far.
Great, great. She's doing great, isn't she?
So just a little word about that woman with the blue hair. So, and the reason I'm explaining these is just because I'm hoping you guys will start taking some risk. When I was giving that word for that woman, all I got when I looked at this woman is she feels like a misfit, like she doesn't fit into the kingdom. And I was like, how do I say that to somebody, right? It was kind of awkward. So, but then as I began to share it, like I said, more started to come. And as I was sharing it, she had a total, like, flat affect. Like, she and her husband just, they weren't emotional. There was no response. And I'm dying. I'm like, I am just insulting this person, and nothing's landing, the whole bit. Well, she came up to me, she and her husband, afterwards. She has 4 kids, and she struggles with just some mental health stuff, some depression, and just had hit a wall and had spent the week in kind of inpatient at an inpatient situation at a hospital to receive some, like, acute psychiatric care. And her husband had just picked her up to bring her to this conference. And so what was really beautiful, too, is while she was in there, she had been sharing her faith with several of the women and ministering to the women that she was in the hospital with. And that day was going to be bringing some Bibles back to the women that she had been ministering to. And so, you know, how, you know, the heart of God to see this woman who must have felt like such a failure as a mom with four kids to end up in the hospital. And here God was using her to minister, to bless other women, and had a ministry in her life to bless and love and bring emotional healing to other women. And God wanted her to know that you feel like there's something wrong with you, but I love you just the way you are. And I've called you by name, and I see you right now in this place. And there is a calling and a ministry on your life. And so I wanted to share the backstory. And Dave and I had a chance to pray for her and pray for her husband, who was obviously caring a lot as well. And because of just the beauty of, imagine that was a powerful moment for her, that she got to receive God's heart for her and this calling on her life. And I'll show you, I think there's one more clip left.
A community in our movement that we haven't even had yet. Lord, we just love that. We love him. Bless his family. Give him everything, Lord. Give him everything. Pour out your spirit upon him. Pour out your spirit upon him. Where he's weary, where he's taken some knocks, Lord, bring healing and bring blessing to his life. In Jesus' name, amen. You got any more?
I think maybe you right here with the blonde hair and scarf. Yeah. Can I ask if you're single or married? Or okay, that's what a sense I have. I was kind of afraid to go there. So right off the bat, I just I get songs a lot. You really highlighted for me, and I got that song, "My Girl." You know that song, talking about my girl, and I felt like God was.
She's even singing up here. It's amazing. It's great.
And I have a terrible voice. I was one of those people that got kind of ridiculed a few times. So. Anyway, I felt like right off the bat, like I felt like I was saying, like this is my girl, like just this light in you, and I almost had a sense like, I don't know if you've ever struggled with being single, or the sense of like waiting and praying, and like I felt like God's like, I have heard every prayer, I know every longing of your heart, and I felt like what he was saying was two things. I felt like he's like, I haven't wanted to share you yet, like he's just. Like, you're so precious to him, like, he's just not ready to share you. And I also have this, like, fatherly sense, like, no one's good enough for this girl. Like, yeah. That sense, like, a father has for his daughter, like, man, like, every guy that comes, like, no, you're not good enough for her. And that was just the sense I had, like, God's like, I have to wait till that guy that's good enough for you. And even then, he won't be good enough, but I'll be willing to maybe part with you and share you. And that was just a sense, like, he's just like, she's mine. And also, I had this sense, like, that song is the cry of my heart to follow you. Like he sees that it's the cry of your heart to follow him, and he just so delights in that. And so like, but he knows those deep desires in your heart. Like he knows what you've been crying out for, and he wants to give it to you, but it's going to be like his absolute best.
Yeah, pray for her. Pray for the Lord's right. He's all over. Just yeah. Pray for her.
What's your name? Michelle. Lord, I feel your heart for Michelle right now. Man. So, you know, sometimes you share a word and it does land, right? Like suddenly like the person's responding, and that's awesome because, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will start ministering that person in the moment. And then that's why it's helpful to like watch and see their response, and you can just then continue to minister what the Holy Spirit's doing. Sometimes as soon as the word's released, there's healing that starts happening, emotional healing, physical healing. A person is just met by the Spirit. And so then you can just continue to bless what the Spirit's doing in that person's life in the moment. And so I wanted to share those clips with you, hopefully as an encouragement when I say, I literally did not have more than a sense. Like with that last girl, I remember all I got was she's single and it's been a struggle. That's all I got. And then I was like, what if I'm wrong? What if she's like happily married? You know, like it's like, ah. But it was like, as I began to say it, I even like that line from the song, like more just started coming. And so I would not have been brave enough to take that risk if that pastor had not imposed it on me. But I'm glad he did, because it showed me how much God cared for me by kind of like giving me like a starting place and giving me some assistance, and how much as I stepped into it, how much he just showed up. Like he so wants to bless and love on other people that if you're willing to just take a little step forward, man, he just shows up. And this morning when I was praying before the service, I always kind of do this bow down thing and ask God like how I can please him. And I just heard the line, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I felt like he was just like, remember, I'm good. Like you don't have to do anything special because I'm good. And you're operating out of his goodness. You're knowing that he loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to feed you. He wants to serve you. And so we're just operating out of God's goodness, knowing that when we respond, that God is good and his intentions are good for people. And so, you know, we're going to be talking in the weeks ahead a little bit more about what it actually, how we partner with the Holy Spirit and what that's like. But I want to encourage you today, no matter where you are in this whole thought about God talking to you, just trust that he is talking to you. And so I just encourage you to take one step into cultivating and posturing yourself to like begin to hear the voice of God for yourself and other people. Even if you're brand new to following Jesus, I actually know some of you in this room who are kind of newer to faith, and I've heard you praying for people and you get very spot on specific words, because it's not about your the depth of your theology, your IQ, your giftedness. It's literally about just like just faith and risk, just willing to be like, I'm just gonna go for it. And God loves you and the person you're praying for so much, he'll move through you. And I've seen it happen again and again. And so I want to close with just a couple. And I'm literally closing, this is like a minute, with just two very quick instructions, biblical instructions on sharing prophecy, because I want you to feel comfortable even sharing here. And so one of them comes from 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 22. It says, do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, hold on to what is good, reject any kind of evil. And so it's clear that even then, Paul's saying the same thing we have to say today, like, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yes, there are weird people that get up and are like, thus saith the Lord, and it's all awkward. And yes, there are, like, prophets out there that have made some big prophecies about political stuff that didn't really happen. And yes, there's things that have gone wrong in this area, as in all areas of, you know, we bring our broken humanity into all this stuff. But he's saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Do not hold prophecies with contempt. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. So prophecies are meant to encourage, strengthen, build us up, lead us toward wholeness, lead us to the heart of God. And when they don't, we let those go. You know, you eat the watermelon, you spit out the seeds, right? 1 Corinthians 14:29 says, two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is said. So we are meant to discern the voice of the Lord in community. Dave and I would have never come out here to church plant if we were not discerning with the community of our sending church. If we were talking to pastors and leaders that knew us for a long time, that listened to the same God that we do, that were on the same page, discerning this is the voice of God. And so it can be unwise when one person says, I think God is telling us to do this, and no one else is sensing that. We're not discerning the same thing. The Holy Spirit honors and moves in and through incarnate community. And so whenever we're talking about prophecies, especially when they affect the community, we discern it together. And finally, I just want to also just share, if you feel like you have a prophetic word for the congregation, like for all of us, if you would just come up and kind of share it briefly with Dave or myself, you know, we definitely have an opportunity during ministry time for you to share your prophetic word. If you feel like you have it for an individual person, you can just go up to that person, but really ask the Lord, is this the right time? Is this, you know, for me to deliver this word, you know, ask for God's discernment in that. If you're not sure, you could ask somebody else, I think I have this word for that person, what do you think? But I just want to put one little caveat out there. Remember that prophetic words are not testimonies. So when we're sharing a word with someone, it's something that you feel like God has for the group or a specific person. It's not, you're not necessarily sharing a testimony of something God taught you or showed you. Testimonies are beautiful and lovely, and I love those, but that's not the same thing as prophetic word. And so we'll save those for other opportunities. So I just kind of want to throw that out there. But I want to encourage you, and today, since we're talking about prophecy, I want to encourage you to take a risk. If during ministry time you feel like you may not know who it's for, but just you have a specific like word, it could be an area of healing, you have a picture in your mind, take a risk to share it. Maybe you're not sure what it means, and as you share it, more will come. All right? Why don't we stand and move into a time of worship? During our ministry time, there'll be several of us kind of in the back, my left, your right, who would be delighted to pray for you. I felt like when that video was showing, I felt like there were some things that were happening there that were tapping in to some things happening for people in the room. I just had that sense. And so if you were stirred by something today, it could be at any point, but even during the video that you felt like often with the prophetic, something that has been said before, it will be like God will even like speak to someone now. So if there was something in that was speaking to you, I just encourage you to come get prayer. As always, you can come receive prayer for anything. If you need healing, if there's just something going on in your life relationally, a work situation, we'd love to come alongside and pray for you. But if you yourself would like to start sort of cultivating an awareness of God's voice for yourself and even specifically for others to start operating the gift of prophecy, we'd love to come alongside of that and just ask the Holy Spirit to just to bless that, to activate and stir up that gift in your life. So during ministry time, like I said, if you think you have a word, then just come share it. Well, I guess Dave's not out there. So Heather, are you still in the room? She slip away? Or you can share with Adrian. If you have a word, you can share with me or Adrian, and then we'd love for you to just share it for the group.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.